So Advent, we start with our first week of Advent, and we talk about hope, the hope of the incarnation. Question is, for you and I, do we trust God? Do we trust Him? When I went to Bible school, I had to really trust God, because I was helping at first at Foothills Alliance Church in Calgary, and was helping in junior high and with small groups and all that kind of stuff, volunteering. And Pastor Matt Boda comes up to me and he invites me to lunch, and I'm like, oh, okay. So we go to lunch, and the senior pastor is there as well, Steve Elliott. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm in trouble. And so we start visiting and chatting, and we get our food. And then they go, Shannon, we think you need to consider ministry. I'm like, are you serious? Not a chance. I was working in the bank at that time, and I had dreams of being in architecture, and that wasn't to be. They said that to me, and I'm going, well, you know what? We had a new little one, Taylor, and it was like we were living in a 550-square-foot apartment, really small apartment. And we actually made that decision because we had talked about it, and we decided, well, okay, we're going to follow God, we're going to trust God, and we're going to see if this thing works. So we downsized, moved into this 550-square-foot apartment with Taylor. Taylor was born. She didn't even have a room. We had to put her in the living room. That's how small our apartment was. And we started trying to save money. It wasn't working too well, because even that 550-square-foot apartment was $850 a month. And I'm working in a bank job trying to get us through. Well, something happened where somebody came along and donated basically a whack of money to us so that we could go. And so then off we went 2 months after Taylor was born to Regina. And I'm taking my wife, Jackie, to Regina. She's never been in Regina before. We don't know a soul. We move into what's called the Christian Ghetto, which is where all the married students used to live, right behind the Jolly Roger Bar. The Jolly Roger Bar was a biker bar. And so I would quite often come home after school on Fridays, and there's like 30, 40 bikes in the back that you had to get through to get to the residence. Well, we went through that, got through 2 years, and then stepped out. Reason why we stepped out is because financial concerns. So I stepped out and worked for a year, but during that year, it didn't look like I was going to be able to get back. So I was asking God, I was saying, God, is this what you have for me still? Is the call to ministry still what you have for me? And one day I'm working at Canada Trust, and one of my customers comes in, Jack Oglesby, and older gentleman. He's about 75, and he's a retired Anglican minister. And he motions to me, and I come to him at the side, thinking he wants a, you know, GIC or something like that. And he says, Shannon, God's been talking to me and told me I need to share my library with you. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, not just because I get more books, love books, but because God answered my question, my prayer. God, is this what you have for me still? And so I was able to go back to college, CBC, the next year, had my best year ever. When I went through college, I knew academics wasn't going to be the problem, but the spiritual side was going to be the issue. It was to stay in connection, in relationship with Christ through all of it. So I dedicated myself to taking the Bible and going to school a half hour early every morning. So that meant I was at school at 7:30 in the morning. And I took my Bible and I'd go and sit down in the library and I would do my devotions every morning. Every morning. Well, I had the best year ever because of that. And the theme that year was self-surrender. Self-surrender. I took that to heart. I am going to surrender myself to Jesus. And one of those ways I decided to do that is I'm going to have my devotions every morning. Some amazing things happened that year. And and had the best year ever. Do we trust God? Do we trust that He is going to do and provide as He has said that He would in His Word? Do we trust Him enough to step out in faith to do those things that He's calling us to? To become that person that He wants us to become? Are we willing to do that? Romans 5:13 says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Is that a prayer that you might pray for yourself? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you, what? Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Hope comes as you trust in Christ. As you exercise that faith muscle, hope builds. So the question is, in what or whom do we put our hope? Do we put our trust? Is it in family? Is it career? Is it health? Is it material things? Well, the truth is hope placed in anything other than Christ, anyone other than Christ, is futile and certain to disappoint us. Our hope should be in something or someone beyond this world and more than this world can offer. Romans 8:24-25 says this, "Now in this hope we are saved. Yet hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience." I like the illustration of the Advent calendar. How many of you had an Advent calendar as you're growing up or have one today? Right? Do you go through it? I know with our kids, when they were little, not so much now that they're bigger, but when they were little, we had our Advent calendar and we'd hide chocolate in each date. So there was always a battle, like it's my turn, because they knew there was chocolate. But they had to read from the Bible every day. They had to read a verse from the nativity story every day. Well, it built anticipation for the next day. For the next day, let's wait patiently. It's not my turn today, but it is tomorrow. Right? Advent, we celebrate for what reason? Why do we celebrate Advent? Coming of Christ, that He was given, that He gave Himself, that He was born. What else in Advent, though? Hope that He is coming again, that He will return. So we celebrate the hope of that. We build anticipation. So how do you build anticipation in your life? How do you build anticipation in your walk? In your walk with Christ, so that it is not doldrums, so you don't get caught in those places where you're not moving anywhere. How do you do that? Do you have a practice that you do? Do you engage in some way? You read, yeah, devotions. That's one way of building anticipation. You know His story, you know His will, you know His work, and what is going to happen. The first book that you read when you became a Christian was what? Okay, crossing the switchboard. Something from the Bible, maybe? Was there a book you read from the Bible, maybe? Anybody? John? Okay, most it's John, right? Because the story is pretty clear there. And it's written to a Gentile audience. You know the first book I read? Revelation. Revelation. Why would you read Revelation? Because I wanted to know I was on the right side. I wanted to be on the side that Jesus was on, and I wanted to know what was going to happen. And did you get scared in the kingdom? Maybe. But I read Revelation. That was the first book I read. And I've read it constantly all the time. Because I want to anticipate, where's Jesus? When's he coming? I can look for the signs of the times. And I can sense that. I can see that. So I read Revelation. How many of you have read Revelation? You know, a lot of people don't read the book of Revelation. Why?
Scary.
Linked to that? Confusing. They don't understand it, right? It's like, well, you got this dragon, you got this, you got all this stuff happening, right? We get scared of things we don't understand. Isn't that true about the Holy Spirit? Well, you don't understand the Holy Spirit and how he works exactly, because he doesn't work all the time the way we want him to work, and so we may be fearful, scared of him. We push away. Isn't that true? The truth is that when we walk and we trust in God, we're stepping into somewhat of an unknown. Because we know God is faithful, or we begin to develop that trust that he is faithful, but it means we actually have to put what we read into practice. And that can be stressful. Well, for me, it was like these two pastors telling me, there's a call on your life to go into ministry. And you need to follow it. And I'm going, huh? I'm going to drop everything, change my whole life, and go this way. Well, it was just a reaffirmation, because my aunt and uncle, when I graduated, my aunt and uncle that had been in ministry for 36 years, they gave me a graduation gift. Guess what it was? It was a devotional book that said, "We think you would make a great youth pastor." I was like, I'm going into architecture, right? Not this. And then here you go. Is it true that when God gives you something or puts something on your heart that it's easy? Is that true? No, it's not. Why does that happen? Why does some of the things that God wants to go on in your life or things to happen in your life can be hard? Well, he says this. He says this in Romans 5, 3-5. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces what? Endurance. Endurance produces what? Proven character. And proven character produces what? Hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That was your favorite scripture, right, Colton? There you go, Romans 5, 3-5. That was great that you read that, right? Yeah. So why do we have to go through pain and struggle and suffering? Why do we have to persevere? Because it builds hope. He says it builds hope. It builds hope within us. So what does this all have to do about Advent? Well, the Christmas story. What's the Christmas story? Luke chapter 1, right? Luke chapter 1, we have the Christmas story. Incidentally, this was one of my Kahoot questions from Friday night. You guys are going, Kahoot? Kahoot what? Kahoot's a game. And I emailed a bunch of you guys after Friday night, because it didn't come off on the screen here. You can play that at any time. It might have sent kind of cryptic, because I didn't go, "Hey, Curtis, how you doing? Here's a game that you could play." I just sent it out, "Hey, I challenge you to my game." He thought it was a virus. Pastor's sending out viruses to everybody. Hey, there you go. But anyways, but which gospel count does not have the count of the nativity in it? No. Mark, right? Mark's the only one. But Luke, we have the account of the nativity and the birth. But we have two births that happen in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay? Which are the births that happen? We have the birth of Jesus through Mary, and we have the birth of who? John. John through who? Elizabeth, right. Okay? We read about John and Elizabeth in the days of King Herod, starting in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron. Who was Aaron? He was a priest. He was Moses' brother. Okay? His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay? Verse 6. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. Underline, both were well along in years. Why? Nothing's impossible with God. Right? When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Do you think this was a chance encounter? No. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. Well, why would you be fearful of an angel? Because you're the high priest. You've been chosen to go into the Holy of Holies that only happens once a year to offer an offering. And if you did anything wrong, you might die. That's why they tied a rope onto the priest's ankle. So if something happened and there was displeasure with God, they could pull the priest back out. So Zechariah, you think it's going through his thing? He's going, moving the rope, pull me out! Right? But no. He just stands there and an angel appears and if I'm Zechariah, I'm going, I'm dead. Right? But the angel says what? The angel says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. What has Zechariah and Elizabeth been praying about? A child. They're well along in years. They haven't had a child. They're desiring a child. And the angel says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. What does that tell us about God? He listens. That's hope. God listens to our heart. He listens to our cries. But I want to back up to one verse. And that's verse number 6. Okay? Tells us about Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were what? They were both righteous in God's sight. What's it mean to be righteous? It means to be in right standing with God. Okay? They were both in right standing with God in His sight. And how were they doing that? They were living without blame, living according to what? All His commandments and requirements. All His commandments and requirements. Okay, to be righteous, to have right standing with God, is to live according to His requirements and His commandments. Okay? Does Jesus waver from that? No, He does not. He brings us back to that and He says, I've come to fulfill everything that the law and the prophets have said. And what I've said is two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and what? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love God? How does God know that we love him? That we do his commandments and his requirements. Right? John 14:15, 15:14, we talked about that. Like, you guys are probably getting tired of it, but I've talked about it the last 3-4 weeks. But my friends are what? Who? Those that do what I command them to do, he says. So we have Elizabeth and Zechariah desiring a child. Zechariah goes into the Holy of Holies, not by chance. Angel appears, and the angel says, God has heard your prayer. Why? Because they're righteous. They're in right standing with God. They're following his commandments and his requirements. But that they've waited a long time. Yeah. Why? Perseverance builds character. Suffering builds character to give them what? Hope. To give them hope. Isn't this amazing that Zechariah and Elizabeth did not lose hope? They did not lose hope. They kept on praying and kept on asking God and kept on doing as he asked them to do. What are most of us willing to do probably at that point? Quit. I'm done. No. How many of us is this a reality? Well, I prayed about that all day and nothing happened, so I'm going to take it in my own hands and do that tomorrow. True? It's true. But Zechariah and Elizabeth persevered. Yeah. They persevered. Persevered. And then Zechariah gets scared out of his skull when an angel appears. So obedience leads to being heard and answered. Obedience to God, to his commandments, to his requirements, leads to being heard and answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. Well, I was kind of thinking Cornelius, but it'd be John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. I'm kind of thinking, if I'm Zechariah, I was just praying for a child, not the miracle child. Right? There's a lot, lots of responsibility coming down here. This is amazing stuff that I'm hearing. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous and to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Wow. This is my son. My son is going to do this. And he's going to be named John. And he's going to go forward in the power of the Spirit and power of Elijah? Who's he referencing here? Probably one of the greatest prophets in Israel. Elijah. Everybody talks about Elijah. He's going to go in the power and the spirit of Elijah, in the power and spirit of Elijah, who's who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And John's call to ministry is what? Verse 17, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. That's his job. To make ready for the Lord a prepared people. This guy is amazing. Zechariah is hearing hope. The book of Matthew records what at the beginning, between the intertestament times, between the Old Testament and New Testament, there's how many years that aren't recorded? 400. And what do we know about that time? God never said a word. God never said a word. And then all of a sudden, Zechariah in the Holy of Holies, standing beside the altar, wham, there's an angel. And he says, the Lord has heard your prayer. What's going through Zechariah's mind now? I'm hearing words of hope. 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 This is who my son is going to be? Wow. And we find out that as we read forward, Zechariah says what? Verse 18, he says, how can I know this? Zechariah asked the angel, for I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Directly from God. God has said this. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day of these things take place. Because why? You didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. This news is so good, it's hard to believe. Isn't that true? Doesn't that ring in our world today? If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Well, wouldn't we be shocked if Jesus showed up today? It would be too good to be true, wouldn't it? Is there a reason why it says many may be deceived in the last days? Because we'd be looking for a Savior, someone to save us, because there's going to be so much darkness in this world. We're going to be looking for someone to save us, and the false prophet is going to come upon the scene. The false Messiah. The false religion. And many are going to be deceived to follow after the Antichrist, because he's going to offer what? Hope. That is what this world is looking for, is hope. It's a Savior. And the Antichrist, the devil, is going to play all the cards, and nothing's going to work until he's going to play the last trump card he's got left. To offer a false hope. And it says, many will be deceived. Even so might the elect, if what? Those days had not been cut short. You know what that tells me? I better know my word. I better know my Bible. Because this is yet to happen, yet to come forward, and I better know and understand the signs of the times. And I better have my eye on Jesus, who is the real hope. Right? So who is our eye upon? In who do we place our hope? Interesting thing about Zechariah and Elizabeth is what? It's this. After Zechariah gets pulled out and people are amazed he can't speak, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, the Lord has done this for me. He looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people. What does Elizabeth realize? God has heard. God has listened. He's answered my prayer. And she says, what? He's looked upon me with favor. We've talked about this, right? The favor of God upon our lives. Zechariah and Elizabeth were who? People that were declared righteous in God's sight because of why? They followed his commandments and his regulations. They were blessed with favor. Their prayer was heard. How am I doing in this area? How am I doing in this area? Jesus calls me to do something and to be something. Am I obeying? Or are we having a communication problem? Right? He doesn't seem to be listening to me. Why? What's the issue? Could it be that we have a communication problem because I'm not listening? Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, 7:13, the verse says this, just as he had called and they would not listen, so when they called, I would not listen. So do we think that If Zechariah and Elizabeth had lost hope and had just done whatever they wanted to do and they were still praying to God for a child, that they would receive a child. Most likely not. But because they were in right standing with God and they pursued his commandments, they were blessed with his favor. But we get disappointed because why? It's not in our time. So we give up. So we say, God's not listening. But you know what? He says, I haven't built enough hope in you yet. I haven't built enough hope in you yet. Do you really believe? Do you really follow me? Do you really, really believe? Here's a key verse that comes from 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believed and so we also speak. 2 Corinthians was written by who? Paul. You're right. It's Paul. Everybody say Paul. It was Paul. Okay? 2 Corinthians was a really messed up church. But what is Paul saying here? He's saying, faith opens our lips in praise to God while unbelief silences us. So if I really believe, Paul is saying, then I'm going to speak. If I don't really believe, I'm going to be silent. That's a pretty big pushback from Paul. But look who Paul was, right? Paul was who? Paul was Saul, who persecuted Christians because he didn't believe. And then he has this Damascus Road experience. Says, Lord, who are you? I am Jesus that you are persecuting. And then he turns right around and he believes. How do we know that Paul believed? Because he spoke. This is what Paul's saying. Elizabeth and Zechariah believed. They believed so much in the Lord, even through the times of silence, that God had not spoken in the country for like 400 years. They still believed and held on to his promises, to his word. And as a result, an angel appears and says, your prayers have been heard, and bless them with John. Wow. Isn't that a great Christmas present? Really? So what do we learn from this? Do I want the favor of God upon me? Then I need to follow him. I need to follow Jesus. I need to do as he asks. And he says, the Spirit will come upon you, the power and the Spirit of Elijah. The Spirit of God will be upon you. And what does he ask us to do? He says, go out into the world and do what? What's he say? Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Baptize. Teach them in everything that you know about me. And he says, what at the end of that? I will be with you always. I will be with you always. Does this sound like the ministry of John? To prepare people for the coming of the Lord. This is our duty. Prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. We are to share the love of Christ, the story of Christ, his incarnation, his birth, his death, in order that we might win some, that they might be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. How's my standing? We go into this Advent season, how's my standing? How am I with God? Am I obeying his voice? What I read in the scriptures, am I applying? Am I sharing with others? This is the greatest season to do this. If you have friends and family, invite them to Christmas Eve service. Why? We're going to have testimonies about the power of Christ and what Christ has done in people's lives. Invite your friends. This is the greatest time to share the greatest gift. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for Elizabeth and Zechariah. I thank you that they were faithful. I thank you that they were a man and a woman that pursued you wholeheartedly. And Father, that through them, through their perseverance, you built a hope in them that they never lost, and that you rewarded them. You gave them John. And we know John went on before Jesus to announce the Messiah to the world. What a great gift. Father, let us be faithful as Zechariah and as Elizabeth, and as we look into the next weeks with Mary and with Joseph. Bless us, bless our church, Lord Jesus, as we follow you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.